former WHL All-Star, I think.
Hey, hey. What? About time you're nice to me in here.
Member of the World Junior, one of only three players in the history of the World Juniors to get no points in a 13-0 game, 15-0 game.
15-0
game, yes. Stolen Otter, the other two, in case you're wondering, trivia buffs.
Ugh.
And writes at OilersNation.com, former NHLer Brian Sutherby joins us. Suds, how you doing?
Well, I'm okay, well, you're, hey. I guess. You were going really nice there.
Well, no, hey, but hey, you made the World, right, you made the World Junior team. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just saying you managed to go pointless in a 15-0 game.
Two-time WHL All-Star.
Two-time
now. I thought you were going in that direction.
I didn't even know it was twice. I just guessed that it was once.
Well, I'll just throw that out there. Yeah.
Did you get it? Like, what did you get when you were an All-Star in the dub?
Oh, geez. I don't know. That was the year that the very first year they started playing against the OHL.
Okay.
So before that, it was just a big party for the guys, and they obviously wanted to crack down on that. So my first year, 18, that I got to play, curfews and no fun whatsoever. Brent Sutter was our coach. He was threatening to bench guys. It wasn't the fun experience I expected.
Threatening to bench.
Oh, yeah. I think actually the next year he might have actually benched guys. Because they were trying to pit the WHL versus OHL and create some huge rivalry. And much like, you know, guys playing in the World Championships or whatever, part of you doesn't want to get hurt. You don't want to go and do something that's going to hurt your season or your team you're playing for in the dub. So it's more of a game where guys just wanted to have fun. But yeah, they were trying to go in a different direction.
And they've pretty much changed it now, right? Like the top prospects game is for all the prospects who are getting drafted because they think that's going to be the motivation by having all the scouts there. And then, you know, they take on the Russians.
Well, that's an important game. Yeah, they don't do that. The Russian, the Super Series, that's
separate,
the All-Star game essentially, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely things change. Who did you play with in the All-Star game? Do you remember?
Oh, geez, I don't know. My line mates?
No.
I don't know, but they weren't very good, I don't think, because we didn't get any points. I think I might have had 1 point or one assist maybe in my two games. I didn't show up either.
Yeah. No. Hey, well, it's one game. Like, it's always funny how there's so much emphasis on one game.
Yeah.
And it really... And I'm sure when you're in it, it's probably hard not to get sucked into that. But one game or even one playoff series does not make a career or break a career.
No. I mean, obviously.
Well, actually, it's probably broke more than it's made, it seems.
Well, for sure. But it shouldn't. I think back to junior, the top prospects game is a great way to look at it. And even the Super Series now playing the Russians, especially for kids that you're trying to see if they're going to get drafted and elevate their play. But you know, I think back then they were trying to create something that maybe wasn't there.
What did you think of, let's get into the NHL playoffs, Kings Ducks series?
Well, I mean, obviously, for me a little bit, I wish it was a 1-1 series or something a little closer, just, from a Duck fan standpoint. Obviously those are some guys that I played with and sort of root for, but I knew going into this, and I told you on Friday that I thought all along LA was probably the better team right now and figured that they'd pull the series out. I thought the Ducks deserved a little bit better fate in game one, and they were so close, a real heartbreaker there at the end. But I thought they were the better team. Jonathan Quick's obviously been standing on his head. And then last night, you know, a tougher game for them. I didn't think they got to the front of the net very well. They had a lot of shots, but it was perimeter. And when you're not creating stuff in front of Jonathan Quick or making him move side to side, he's going to stop all those pucks.
You got to get more traffic in front
Big
of him,
time.
Don't you?
Big time. I mean, you saw Perry trying to do that. But if, I mean, he's one of the best, if not the best goalie in the league. And he's seeing everything right now going back to the series before. And that was part of the reason why I just felt like it was LA's series. We watched the Ducks a lot late in the year playing against the Oilers. And for me, they just lack some depth. I don't know if they don't play a game as heavy as LA and with sort of that veteran presence that LA has. And when you see them get rolling like they did the series before and see Quick start to heat up, it's pretty scary and going to be a tough, tough hill to climb for the Ducks to get back in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, going to L.A.
At least it's not far to travel, but yeah.
Oh,
it's,
that's true.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Although, you know, they were 7 seconds away from winning game one.
And it's, no, I mean, they very much, they should have won that game. I mean, it probably shouldn't even have been a one-goal game in game one. And I actually thought L.A. would probably come out and win that game. I figured the Ducks had been sitting and L.A. had played 4 huge games. And I thought they would have come out better. But the Ducks took it to them for the most part in that game, I felt. And kind of had one pulled out from under them. And now they're in a real hole.
Penguins and the Rangers. I guess we can say Sidney Crosby's back to being the best player because he scored a goal finally because everybody was all ready to just say he was garbage. Yeah. But he scored a goal, so he's good.
Trade that guy.
And, I'm sure the Oilers could give up Sam Gagner and something.
Yes. Omar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's gone.
No, unfortunately. Yeah. That's, you know what? There's really not sure who's going to be the next Oiler
Omar
that the fans or some of them will anoint as the best trade bait possible. I'm curious to know who that'll be.
Well, right now it is Gagner. Gagner is getting a lot right now, is he not?
Yeah. Well, yes, no, because it seems people are so frustrated with Gagner, they don't think he has any value.
Get rid of him,
Omar's case, it was a case of completely just blind faith that no, this guy's really good, actually. He's just not getting a shot.
Yeah,
it's totally different. It's a special case. Like, to be considered to have as much value as Omar, it's going to be tough. I'm not sure anybody could match that in the next 10 years in Edmonton to have as much overrated value as Linus Omar.
That will be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. But the Penguins, man, I didn't like the Rangers game. I know everybody's like, oh, look at Alain Vigneault and everything, but I look at how the Rangers are playing. I didn't like how they played against Philly, and I don't like how they're playing against Pittsburgh.
And that's, again, we talked about the series on Friday and just how we thought things would line up. And I haven't liked the Rangers much at all. Just their makeup and the way that they play the game. They're trying to go at Pittsburgh cute and trying to play them heads up. And I don't know if you can play the top 2 or 3 best offensive players in the league that way. And they're trying to do it. And I thought Columbus really played Pittsburgh hard, north, south, got the puck in deep, made their D turn and tried to punish them with a real aggressive forecheck. Dubinsky was all over Crosby everywhere he went, playing him physical. I think those things had a real effect on Pittsburgh's game, and now you've got the Rangers that really just try to match up with sort of some skill here and a good goalie. And even last game, Vigneault's taken out even more of their grit and some of the guys that would add a little bit of that physicality that, for me, at least, I thought that was what allowed Columbus to be in that series. But they played that same sort of style against Philly where there was no real animosity or physicality, and they're doing it again. It hasn't been a series that I've really enjoyed to watch, and I'm not surprised that Pittsburgh's jumped out here based on that.
Minnesota's done?
I would think so. I mean, Chicago looks good right now. Oh. I could very easily, I don't think I'm going out on the limb here at all. To me, it looks like they're going back to the finals again. They just look like a team that's so deep. Before the playoffs, obviously question marks with Kane and Taves and just their health and if they'd be ready and game ready. And they are. And they look great.
And let's get to the game tonight that a lot of people are interested about, Montreal and Boston. The Bruins have been dominant in the third period.
Yeah.
The Habs have dominated the first 40 minutes. Well, not dominated, but they've definitely been in charge after 40 minutes. You go to the Bell Center, and I know this is where you played your first NHL game or scored your first NHL goal, one of the two.
First two-goal game.
Yeah. Okay, I know.
First and only two.
Still, hey, there you go. But there's something about playing in Montreal. The atmosphere there tonight, they're still the best at pregame ceremonies.
Big
I don't care. It could be November 18th for no reason. Their pregame ceremony is still better than most teams when they try to have some big event. And it's Boston, Montreal, heated rivalry. How much do you think home ice plays into this series? And do you believe in the whole thing as a guy who's played on the road in playoffs that you have to keep the crowd out of the game? Because to me, if the crowd's loud, isn't it just as exciting for you as a visiting player?
Well, coming out of the gates here, it's going to be very exciting for both teams. I mean, it's just special to play there. The pregame, the way they set it all up with Coldplay and the lights and the laser show, it's just, it's a fantastic place to play hockey. And when the puck drops, Boston's going to be as fired up as Montreal. But I think at times where you would like to settle the fans down in a hockey game is if the tide starts to change and every little shot gets the big whoa and the fans are cheering and going crazy, that does play a little bit of a part when you're in the defensive zone and it feels like every little shot from behind the goal line is all of a sudden a grade A scoring chance. And every time they're skating the puck up the ice, the fans are going nuts. It does get you on your toes a little bit and can potentially force defensemen or forwards on the wall to rush plays, maybe think that there's someone on top of them right away. And it can give you that feeling that the whole building's on top of you when it isn't really. And that's how the fans can affect it.
Okay, because I always wondered about it. When you're in there and you're on the bed and the place is going bananas, you're like, well, I'm just as amped up by the noise as the home team.
Oh, for sure. Like, I remember the early days in Washington, or I guess the days after they traded Jágr, we had nights where we couldn't get 10, 11,000 people in the barn. But every time we played Montreal, Detroit, Buffalo would come down, or Philly. I mean, we're in our own rink and we're outnumbered by fans, but it didn't matter because finally we had a sold out rink and it was just rocking and it didn't matter who was cheering for who. In that case, that was just a fantastic atmosphere to play in. It really didn't matter. But I do think that at times when the ooh and ahs and the cheers, it can get to you, especially if you're trying to hold on to a lead or it's a tie game and it just magnifies sort of every play that sometimes if you're not ready for it, it can have an effect on guys.